WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Ballard Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use that here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. And hey, guess what, guys? It is September 4-6-ish. More days. So if you want to subscribe for 20% off the regular way, you can do that too. Just hit the little purple button as well. You can also follow the channel if you want, or you can hang out and chat. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And if you're listening on the archives, hi! We love you guys too. I want to give you a shout out. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. You know what that means. It's wrestling talk. And football talk, because football's on, even though it's a barn burner of a game. If you have Christian McCaffrey, it's at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter. You can go to wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive and join us and interact with and talk with us, because we're here to talk things about professional wrestling, sports entertainment, and not a horror show. It is just kind of Extreme Rules.
It's like it went from one extreme to the other. We'll get into it later in the show. We're going to talk about it because so far Extreme Rules is not that extreme. And I wonder if they forgot about that part. I don't know.
I mean, when you keep saying the word Extreme Rules, Extreme Rules, Extreme Rules, it has to click in your head.
Hey, maybe we need some extreme things.
Might just be good thing. We'll see.
We will definitely see, but that's right. We were talking about WWE Extreme Rules later in the show, but we have news, notes, NXT, all your favorites. And I say we don't waste any time. We just jump right into the news brought to our friends over at mbgfilms.com/mbg1211.
Before you get anything, let me add, they did rename it. They took off the word horror show. It's now back to Extreme Rules. It was renamed. This company's doing good.
I don't think that's what he meant.
I mean, they can move it to December and then you could just be this. Anyway, moving on to the news by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
I mean, who knows? We might get a different kind of extreme. We could have extreme sports. We could have extreme other things. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about it later in the show. So I'm just going to touch on it really, really quickly right at the top. We're not going to elaborate. We're not going to go into any sort of reasoning or discussion about it. Tommy Dreamer has been suspended indefinitely from Impact Wrestling. If you know why, you know why. If you don't know why, just Google it.
If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. It's unfortunate, but here we are.
It is unfortunate. Hopefully it gets sorted out one way or another. But yes, that is the big story from last week. I really don't want to get into it or feel like getting into it because it's somewhat misleading and there's a lot of twists and turns and nobody's really sure what's actually factual and what's not. So I don't want to try and discuss on something that like basically everybody's like, well, I'm really not sure if this is actually true. So
internets, y'all, internets.
Woo! Fabricated news for the win! Yeah! Okay. Anyway, moving on, heading back to WWE. In other big news and happy news, congratulations are going out to Scarlett and Karrion. They finally got engaged, which I thought they were engaged this whole time.
Same.
But
same.
Go them! Good job on the ring, Karrion. Great job on the ring. Man has taste. Or she picked it herself. I'm not sure which.
One or the other.
But your boy got his first big paycheck, you can tell, because he got a really nice ring for his lady. So she picked it, and she's got good taste. Not that I'm surprised, but yeah. So congratulations to them. In other news, WWE is headed back to the UK November 3rd through 10th, so tickets should be on sale soon. If they are not already on sale.
I'm not sure if they're on sale yet, but they should be on sale very soon. They're coming off a very successful 4-day tour in the UK. With Drew McIntyre getting to go home to Glasgow and yeah,
he had fun.
Sold out shows all the way through, so, or close to sell out, 12 to 14,000 shows people a night. So they did really well over the UK. So they're heading back for an entire week in November to make up for not being there for a while. So this is their technically this is going to be their normal time. They would go over anyhow in November.
Yeah,
it's usually right before Survivor Series.
They're just trying to reestablish the schedule, but also they want to go see the international fans because they haven't seen them in a year and a half. So it's good to get back on the road and get back in the grind of going overseas and kind of get people built up and ready for, I don't know, you know, like heading to Saudi Arabia kind of thing.
Though Saudi happens first.
Well, to help them recover from, I don't know.
I don't know, but Saudi happens first on the 21st of October.
You're going to have a lot of new people on the roster, I think, and they're going to get they're going to get taught about long road trips.
The Europe travel.
The Europe loop. Enjoy. And last but certainly not least for WWE, y'all, we got to talk about this because it happened. Oh God, it happened. The Escape the Undertaker trailer drop. I'm so happy. You have no idea. There's lore. There's new goddamn Undertaker lore in 2021, and I'm so excited. Like, I'm such a nerd for this. But it is exactly what we thought it was going to be. It is Scooby-Doo meets Saw. There's a lot of questions about it still, but, like, just getting to see the little glimpses of it that we see. This Mark needs to work on his people skills.
It's Scooby-Doo meets Saw with Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah. And The Undertaker's... He needs to work on his people skills. He's not good with the peoples.
No.
Clearly. But to me, it's cool because it's like, I've seen a lot of stuff where people wonder, like, what the Undertaker's like away from the ring and what his house is like and this kind of stuff, right? Like, I think a lot of people are genuinely very curious about that side of the character, and we kind of get to see that a little bit in this, I feel like. And I love the fact that he's so extra that he has this big ass mansion with his symbol on the carport. It's not a carport. It's like a fancy drive under thing. I don't know what they're called, but it's like he has like a little portico or something outside the house, and his symbol's mounted in stone on the front of the house. Like, this is, you can tell this is his place.
I want to read you something that I just found from slashfilm.com.
Okay.
Escape the Undertaker stars. You guessed it. The Undertaker. Just because a professional wrestler is retired doesn't mean you shouldn't be terrified. Turns out in his off time, he dabbles in jigsaw-like activities. The Undertaker stars as a villainous mansion owner with a bunch of death traps and a magical urn. Trying to steal an urn are WWE superstars and decorated tag team The New Day. The team believes that adding the supernatural urn abilities to their positivity power will make them unstoppable. And all they have to do is survive The Undertaker. Not sure positivity stands a chance against his booby-trapped mansion, but only time will tell.
This is going to be such a goddamn train wreck, and I can't wait for it. Like, I kind of think there's actually a way that he can win. I think he actually can win.
How?
There's like an option at one point in the trailer that says join the Undertaker, where he's basically torturing somebody with a spider in a box on their head. And you can give up and you can join the Undertaker's hellish crusade, or you can stay positive. And so I think if you actually could get all three members of the New Day to join the Undertaker, that he wins, I guess. I don't know. Like, I actually do want the option of the Undertaker winning. I don't know why. Because I just want to see what happens.
Yeah.
But like, because it's like, you don't want the classic, oh, the New Day escaped the mansion, right? Like, and the Undertaker is like, damn it, foiled again. And then he goes back to experimenting with the urn. Because that's what he's doing in this. He's just, you know, minding his own business, experimenting with his urn. The New Day roll up, and then he's got to take care of business. Because, you know, like you do, right? Like, people just roll up to your house and are trying to steal your urn. And, you know, he just can't have that, right? Like, you don't just take the source of the man's power.
I mean, other people have tried.
What's hilarious is the Godfather, like, Undertaker put it out on Instagram, put the trailer out, and Godfather responded to it, and he's like, I wouldn't touch the urn if I were you.
Because he, in another reality, took the urn, along with the Million Dollar Man, and then melted it down to be,
a chain.
A chain. Back in 1995, for those who remember.
And as I recall, he got whooped for that, didn't he?
At WrestleMania. But no, that was against King Kong Bunny at WrestleMania, but yes, he got whooped for it.
Yeah, so don't mess with the Undertaker's urn. But yeah, so the movie comes out October 5th. If you want to check out the trailer, it is on the Undertaker's socials. It's on WWE's socials.
It's on it's on Netflix's YouTube channel.
Oh, it's finally on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, like, go check it out. Go watch it. Please watch it on October 5th. It's going to be, I think we, basically all of the comments that I've seen is, oh my God, this is going to be such a train wreck. I can't wait to watch this. Because I think everybody has acknowledged that this is going to be really campy and cheesy and stupid. But we all just really want to see it. Because it's going to be really campy and cheesy and stupid.
So, Chad, which means either you're getting a rack extra on it or a live review of it that week, to be determined.
We're probably going to record it because I'm going to need to filter. Because it's probably... So, anytime I watch anything involving The Undertaker, it usually takes me twice as long because I have to, like, pause and have a moment and then, like, continue.
This is accurate. So, we'll probably record it and it will be available that week. I know you
want to... We want live. God. I wish I could, like, watch it live on Twitch or YouTube or somewhere and, like, live react to it. That would be, like, my absolute ideal, is that we could stream it somewhere and we could live react to it.
But we cannot, so that's not going to happen. But we'll figure out something for you guys.
Because there would be, and also I don't know if we should, because the commentary would just be...
Yeah, so a rack extra coming soon.
Yeah, so we're probably not going to be able to, like, do it live because I'm going to have to filter this. There would be lots of words and yelling and cursing and sarcastic comments and disrespect to people.
No. What I meant by live is you'll be on the show live. Like, we'll record it here live, not watch it live. That's what I originally meant.
Yeah, but I want to watch it live. Like, I actually want to do commentary of it.
I know, I'm just, anyway.
Like, we used to do, like, we could riff it. I mean, technically we could. Like, you and I could just sit here and watch it, and we just don't stream it on Twitch. But, like, I don't think anybody wants to sit here and, like, listen to us for however long this thing is and like not be able to see it.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure this out. We'll let you know.
We got time.
We do have time. So, but yes, if you want to see the trailer again, go check out the trailer. It's just incredible. Moving on to AEW. In an interesting move, AEW has removed Mark Henry from the commentary panel. It's now going to a rotating panel to replace him.
Ricky Starks will be one of the people. He said he's going to be the full-time replacement. He is not. It's going to be a rotating group of superstars. Wrestlers, as they're called.
Henry is still going to be doing, I think, interview segments. So he still will be a part of it, but he's not going to be doing actual commentary. Which maybe is a good call. I don't know. I don't watch Rampage, so I can't tell you.
She doesn't watch Rampage. I can tell you that every time she doesn't watch it.
He yells at me because, like, Rampage will come on and I will go to HGTV and he's like, no, no, you should go to TNT. And I'm like, no, I'm going to HGTV.
It's a thing.
Anyway, I do not want to watch the TNTs.
Anyway, what else is in the news from AEW?
So, in a big move, AEW has announced a relationship with the Owen Hart Foundation. This is, yes, it is my drinking night. This is really, really, really cool. Basically, AEW has partnered with Martha Hart and the Owen Hart Foundation, where they will be making a charitable donation to the foundation, and in return for that,
will include a launching of the annual Owen Hart Cup tournament within AEW, which will see the winner receive a cup known as the Owen, as well as the production and distribution of unique and original Owen Hart merchandise, including specific retail goods, as well as the upcoming AEW console video game. This alliance incorporates opportunities to develop the Owen Hart action figure via AEW's partnership with Jazzwares, apparel, posters, and additional collectible merchandise. Owen Hart is survived by blah, 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 blah. And there you go.
So that's a big, huge move. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to the Owen Hart Foundation. So that's cool.
If you would like to know more about the Owen Hart Foundation, owenhartfoundation.org.
Ding. Dynamite is going to be moving to TBS on January 5th. So everybody mark that in your calendars, and then Rampage is to remain on TNT. So everybody got that? Are we good? And it is same bat time. Not bat channel, but same bat time.
Yeah, the official move comes January 5th, because if you saw when the hockey schedule came out for Turner, you saw that, there are 10 p.m. games on Wednesdays through the end of the year, except for the couple in October, which they're going to be moving to Saturdays, and then everything starts on January 5th. Rampage was supposed to move to TBS, but it's staying on TNT for the foreseeable future.
They're happy with it. They're happy with what it's doing. They're happy with it winning tonight, so why break a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
AEW also announced today that the signing of Satnam Singh, he's an international phenomenon known as the first ever player from India to be drafted by the National Basketball Association. He is 7'3". Jesus Christ. And he was originally drafted by the Dallas Mavericks in 2015. What are they going to do with him?
He's going to be a wrestler. WWE had interest. Then he went to AEW.
Oh, they're going that route.
Yeah, imagine.
Interesting. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's interesting that they're taking a former sports player and they're going to train him to be a professional wrestler. I'm assuming at the Nightmare Academy, because
I would assume
they don't have developmental yet.
I assume he's going to be being trained by QT Marshall and the gang, I would assume. Or he's going to Dustin's. I don't know.
I have no idea, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually it for the news. So NXT?
No.
Oh, we have Blaine Brown.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Sammy, what did you do to yourself? So Sammy Callahan has suffered a broken ankle, tibia, and fibia. Basically, he fucked the bottom part of his leg.
# blame Brent.
He did it apparently doing a tope suicida.
Stay safe, everybody. Azee Tayatsu
Naito.
Naito, thank you. Suffered a knee injury.
# blame Brent.
And then Mahabali Shira
suffered something.
# blame Brent.
We don't know what.
It's an undisclosed injury that was reported by PW Insider. I guess he can't do the Shira shake?
I guess not. Very unfortunate. By the way, since we're blaming people for things, can people not be manufacturing news that a specific number of people walked out of a specific show during a specific segment. Can we not be inventing news like that simply because you don't like what they're doing? Can you just like straight chill and like not abuse your position like that? That would be great. Thanks. Because that's really kind of crappy of you. Anyway, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
One day I'm going to have to change that intro, and I don't know what to.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's where I'm stuck at.
Because we can't play the actual NXT intro, I don't think.
The new music? No. Well, I know.
Yeah, we can't use that. So we're going to have to figure that out. But anyway, let us talk about the show. This is week two of 2.0. We had more introductions. We had follow-up on the introductions last week. Lots and lots and lots of change occurred on this show still. It's a little much because it's introducing all these new characters. Like, you're getting used to people, and that's great. But there's still, like, a lot of introductions, and you're like, oh my god, stop, please. But I can tell you one thing.
What can you tell me?
There's one thing on the show I did not like.
What was that?
So Toxic Attraction comes out. One, they did a better job on Mandy's makeup this week, so that's a positive. If y'all are gonna shoot the entrance, can you get all three of them in the close-up shot? Because literally, like, they have them walk out, you see all three of them walk out, and they go up Gigi, and it's like, okay, all right, there's Gigi Dolin, you know, close-up shot of her. And then they go to Mandy, and they do a close-up pan-up of Mandy, where there's an actual pause on her chest for, like, 2 seconds, and then they go up to her face. And then they never go to JC, ever. Never, ever do they do the close-up pan-up shot of JC. Then they just cut to a wide shot of all the three of them still focused in on Mandy. Did y'all just forget JC was there?
Yes.
Like, is that what happened? Because what the hell?
So before we get to that match, let's talk about what started off this show. You had Tommaso Ciampa in the ring with a bunch of people. Bron Breakker, Trick Williams, Carmelo, Odyssey. And how he back on top of the mountain for the first time in 908 days.
That's a long time.
He said, told Goldie he missed him. We had all the new faces. We call this place 2.0, but the passion of the people hasn't changed. Alicia Taylor is still NXT. Vic, Beth, everyone's still NXT. The fans are still NXT. The reason why Ciampa is in the ring, why Ciampa does what he does, is because of the people. He said he's so damn happy to be here. Ciampa said, with Ciampa holding the title, NXT is the A show. And we had a loud We Are NXT chant. Out came Cameron Grimes. So the NXT championship would be the fuel that makes his rocket go straight to the moon. Yeah, Joe Gacy come try to cut off Cameron. Then LA Knight showed up. And, you know, he wants title shot. Everyone wants title shot. Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland come out. They want title shot, basically. Everyone wants the title. Everyone wants the fight. So it all broke down into a big, giant fight between the heels and the faces, and the new school and old school, everyone alike, were battling around. Eventually, Ciampa and we found out it would be Dunn and Holland versus Ciampa and Breakker on the show, which would be fun. Then we had women backstage brawling, and then, yeah, a lot of craziness that happened in the opening segment. Lots of craziness. I guess that's good,
yeah. I mean, I like this. I like that you show that there are a lot of challengers, young and, I don't want to say old, but experienced NXT talent. Let's go with that. Waiting in the wings for him. And he's not going to be able to sit complacent at the top. He's going to have challengers. He's going to have issues trying to hold on to his title. And you have people who have mainly been waiting on the sidelines for a while now, especially with the likes of Karrion Kross at the top, eager to get their opportunity. Like, you have Pete Dunne, who's an incredibly credible individual, ready and waiting to take his place at the top of the NXT mountain, especially considering the fact that it really probably was supposed to happen a year ago, and he didn't get to do it because of COVID. So he's been kind of sidelined and waiting. He's got Ridge Holland right there with him. And then on the flip side, you've got Bron Breakker, who they're doing a really good job setting up as a credible threat to Ciampa. It's only been 2 weeks.
But good lord, they're doing it perfect. Also, he sounds so much like his uncle.
He does. He sounds so much like his uncle. But they're doing a good job of making it clear that Braun's intent is to get the title. that he's like, you know, I'm going to be friends with you now. I'm going to pull you in close, and then I'm going to take your title from you. And because he's looking at Goldie, he's very subtly telling that story of, yep, that's where I want to go. That's where I need to go to get on top, to be at the top, to make the money, to potentially move on to the main roster. I need to get my hands on that title. And what do I have to do? I have to take out Tommaso Ciampa to do it, who is on his own incredibly dangerous. So you know what? For right now, I'm going to hang close. I'm going to watch him. I'm going to figure him out. And then when I'm ready, I'm going to make my move. I like that you had Cameron kind of come back into the title picture, because they did a really good job with Cameron over the last year, building him up, making him ready to go, kind of taking the gimmick, running with it, turning him.
Gonna cut you off. He went six a year ago. He was scared of Dexter Lumis and Ghost.
Yep, and now he's walking out confident as can be, challenging Tommaso Ciampa for his title. LA Knight is another really solid choice. He was in the match last week. He didn't win, but he was in the match last week. They're keeping him right on the edge of the title. So there's a lot of stuff going on at the top of NXT. There's a lot of movement at the top of NXT, which I really, really like, because while I love dominant champions and they're great long term, they get boring, right? It's like, you know, you had Karrion Kross beat five guys in one night. Every single title contender in one night. What are you supposed to do with that? You know, like, what are you supposed to do? Where do you go from there? So I like that you have lots of options for Tommaso.
On this show, we crowned a new Cruiserweight champion in Roderick Strong. He defeated Kushida.
Which is an interesting move.
I think it was one that was expected.
Because Kushida's hurt, right?
No, he's fine. He had the 19.
Oh.
He's good now. But Diamond Not Mine needs something, so putting the belt on Roderick makes sense. Then you had Grayson Waller come out. He's looking to be Cruiserweight champion. He challenged Strong to a match next week, and we'll see what happens if he gets his match next week. So. Good stuff.
Very good stuff.
Building things. We had another Tony D'Angelo vignette.
How do you feel about him?
Not sure yet, no. I can confidently say that we're not sure on him yet.
I don't dislike him, but I don't know if I like him. Like, it's kind of weird because, like, here's the thing. They're doing, or they were doing, I don't think they've really, they're kind of continuing, but not really, the turf war between Legado del Fantasma and
Hit Row. That's still going.
That's still going, but they've kind of quieted it down a little bit, and they've done a really good job of building Santos Escobar and
Isaiah, and you also have the girls now in the limelight with it.
Yeah, but you built Santos and Isaiah as the leaders of the groups, and they've done a really, really good job with that, and kind of that grudge match, that turf war that's going on. And now you're having Tony come in. And Tony, he's a character, not in like a haha funny way, he's a character. He's a character. He's a stereotype Italian mob character. Perfect. But in a modern twist.
Perfect tie-in for the return of Sopranos.
Dang.
Hey, I got Tim's joke in. Next.
Tim is putting jokes on our show now?
No, from Sunday where he was talking about Sopranos. And not a joke, where he kept the thing going.
All right. But yeah, so he's... And so it's like you kind of sit there and it's like you're seeing vignettes right now. And it's like, okay... I'm curious. I want to see what this guy's about, but I don't know if I'm crazy into it because it's like the Italian mob, New York kind of character just seems a bit tired to me. Like,
if it works, it works. If it doesn't, they find something else.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. But I mean, I'm at least, my interest is piqued with this, but just the character itself, it's like, but that's so overplayed, right? Like, when you think of mob, you automatically think of Italian, but it's like, you know, you've got a great thing with Isaiah and Santos going. And I'm not saying they're in the mob, but it's got that feeling to it where it is legit a turf war between the two groups and they are fighting it out to see who is the supreme group and who isn't and who has control of NXT.
Yeah. So we had Jensen and Briggs. They were in a bar. Talked about meeting in a bar after losing in the breakout tournament, and they bonded over beating up people in a bar fight.
This is AMW 2.0. This is so AMW 2.0. Oh my god. It's Harris and Storm mixed with a little bit of FTR all over again. that's what this is. Like, they were literally sitting there in a bar talking about how they met in a bar and they fought each other in the bar. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's James Storm and Chris Harris. Oh my God. Here it is. Impact strikes again.
Sorry about your damn luck? Question mark?
I don't think it's a bad thing. Like, I love the fact that it's just two good old boys who drink as a tag team. Like, that's a great trope to have because it's just like, yeah, you know, we beat the crap out of each other and now we respect each other. So it's all cool. But I mean, I was just sitting there and with the way that they're talking and the way that they're presenting this, it took me back. I shit you not. It took me back to TNA circa 2004. I think is when they released the AMW DVD because I have it in my basement somewhere.
Four or five. Might have been five?
Might have been five.
I think they really started taking off as in three and four, so five would be the DVD.
Possibly.
Maybe late four? I don't know.
Might be five. But anyway, like, I have the AMW DVD and, like, there's shots of them sitting there doing stand-up interviews and they're in, like, kind of that bar-ish background, but it's like obviously a fake bar because it didn't shoot in a bar, but like that's the exact feeling that I got off of this. So I'm curious to see what they do, but yeah, this was just, you can tell this was AMW beer money, good old boys, FTR, that tag team. Like, I want to know who from Impact put this together for NXT. I want to know.
Jeremy Boy.
Poor ass strikes again. Like, just automatically, you could just tell.
I would assume that Jeremy Borash has his fingerprints on it. I would assume.
I want to know if he actually does or not. Because it feels like it. Anyway, I'm sorry. What's next?
I'm sitting here trying to look up the DVD. Anyway, where were we? Kaylee Ray beat Amari Miller. Quick little match. They gave Amari a little promo. Not bad.
It's good. Yeah.
We had Zion Quinn walking in the PC. We had 2-1 with him, and he beat up some dude.
Woo!
Dante Chen defeated Trey Baxter. He's the first guy from what? China?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. He's the first guy from Singapore.
Oh, Singapore. That's right. Singapore. Okay. Knew it was somewhere overseas. I forgot where they said he was from.
Yeah, no. He's the first guy from Singapore. I like him. I think he's fun.
We had Andre Chase University. Where he was just cutting this promo. And yeah, it was fine.
I'm going to be real. I liked this. I thought it was a little cheesy.
It was very cheesy.
But I liked this. I thought it kind of took me back to Drew Gulak a little bit. When he was doing his PowerPoint gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vibe I got off of it, but I really, really like it. Like, I find him interesting, so I kind of want to see more of him. And we did. We got to see more of him later in the night.
Cameron Grimes took on Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy did a promo.
This got so much attention, and I don't think for the right reasons.
I don't think we're going to be seeing this gimmick anymore. They pulled all references. Cameron Grimes won.
So... missed it. Basically, you had Joe Gacy come out and drop every left-wing, liberal, negative sort of key phrase and word where he's like, you know, we're going to be going to our safe space and we're going to be woke and like that kind of stuff. And it was really, I'm going to be honest, it was incredibly patronizing. And I had to sit here and take a moment and I'm like, oh, this is bad. Like it was not, he did fine. Like this isn't on him at all, but like the promo itself, it's like, oh, y'all are going there with it. Like, full on, 100%, they went there, and it's like, y'all are gonna be in trouble with that, because I don't think people are necessarily going to be cool with it at all. Like, it was not good. It was just, I mean, it was, like, awful. Like, he delivered it well, but, yeah, just the wording and the phrasing and the... every keyword you can imagine getting worked in there was like, oh no, 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 sir. No, no. Don't do that.
DVD came out in 2004.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. It was a 2-disc set. Yeah.
Yes. And it's in my basement somewhere.
I found it on Cage Match. I'm sitting here looking it up. because I was curious. So anyway, moving on from that, we had Electra Lopez get a win over Anna Shear.
A good for her. Yeah, so, kind of continuing to build it.
Mm-hmm. We also had a Von Wagner promo before that, vignette before that. Escobar was in the ring and talked about, we got class, elegance, and sophistication, and all these other things, and respect in Electra. He says, this was all under umbrella of one word, familia. As Mercedo Lopez completes Legado del Fantasma, and Electra said, you got the first taste of what the First Lady of Legado is going to unleash on BFAB and NXT 2.0. She then called out BFAB, and she came out, the boys came out, and then she jumped Electra from behind, and big little bra, and everything got broken up. So there you go.
Let them fight. I really like, and this is going to sound mean, so I apologize, I really like how the guys were just kind of side pieces in this. That this was about the two women, that they both looked like bosses, that they just went for each other and they fought with each other. And they kind of had to do a little bit of a pull apart with them. Like, I like that you're building that animosity. I like that you had the promo where she's like, yeah, I'm here. I'm a boss. I'm here to mess everybody up. I can take care of myself. I don't have to hide behind these boys. I can do me. And then you had BFAB just match that energy and just come out. And yeah, I really like this. I really enjoyed this. I like how they're setting it up for both women to make to really have both women stand out and be able to hold their own and not just be those like compliments or the side piece or the girlfriend or whatever.
Terry Baxter met up with Coral J backstage. They've known each other for a while, and he needs to cheer up because after his loss, and he's like a superhero. And then she gave him a kiss, and he's like, superhero?
We already have one. Her name is Nikki Ash.
Mm-mm. She's almost a superhero.
I think winning the title makes her a superhero.
Mm-mm. She's almost a superhero. I don't know what they're going for, but that gave me Saved by the Bell New Class vibes.
A little bit.
Odyssey Jones defeated two guys.
He looked good doing it.
He did.
He's another one. He's a star in the making. He's got all the tools, all the personality, everything you need to get to the top. He's a star.
Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams got into with taunting Grayson Waller backstage. So we're teasing something there. But then we had Toxic Attraction come to the ring. And we pretty much, you know, detailed what they did. So it's all about Mandy and all that, and they're looking to dominate, and they're coming for the tag titles.
This was okay.
Yeah.
I just can't get into Gigi and JC. I'm sorry. Like, Mandy, I've adjusted to and I'm cool with, but, like, the two others, I just really can't get into them, especially, like, Gigi. Like, I want to fix her posture, like, really, really badly. So like they're doing fine. It's just not appealing to me. It's not working for me, but I'm curious to see where they go with the group and to see if they can grow on me. But yeah, just this just didn't work for me like at all. Especially like I said at the top when we were talking about, you know, how they introduced them as a trio. Officially, you did the shot of Gigi, you did the shot of Mandy, and then you just completely forgot about JC. And it's like, is that being a setup for the future where they're going to kick JC to the curb and you're just going to do Mandy and Gigi? Like, what is that all about? Was that intentional, or did they just forget to cue it in the truck because they were so distracted by Mandy's tits? Because they were right there.
They were. I'll say this. I do like the name Toxic Attraction. That's a good group name.
It is a good group name. They did good there. But yeah, I don't know how, it's just eh. One thing we didn't talk about.
Hmm.
I'm sorry. Were you?
Okay, what did we talk about?
Eichemann Jiro's little promo where we went into his closet.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
That was so awesome. This man has a blazer for every occasion. He's so cute. And it's like he has all these blazers and he's basically introducing himself and he's talking about what he's all about. We got a strong style reference. It was just all really good and really well put together to show him for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And bring him into the product. So that was a really nice little promo there from him.
So where I was going to go, EO and Zoe were asked about Toxic Attraction, and then Indy's Hartwell's best friend came up and said, we're going to go after the titles after when Indy comes back from her honeymoon. We get more information on the honeymoon next week.
I'm here for that. I'm so, so, here for that. Like, 1,000% here for that. Please, all the video, give that to me. Well, maybe not all the video. I don't think we need them to.
I mean, they could. If they really want to go edgy, they could. They could.
By the way, can we get more Daniel Vito on TV, please? Can we just get more of that on TV? I would appreciate that for purely selfish personal reasons. He's pretty. And he's a gentleman.
Anyway, moving on to the main event. Also, we had a Raquel and Frankie Monet confrontation backstage, setting up their match next week.
We did.
But it was Tommaso and Braun Breaker taking on Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland in your main event, which Braun Breaker and Tommaso got the win. This is where, after the match, Braun had the belt. They looked at each other, they stared each other down, and he took back the belt. Little teases, little subtle things that just make it work.
And I know everybody still hates the name Braun Breaker, but, you know, that's fine. But they are doing it perfect with him to very clearly set him up that he is a potential threat, like I said earlier, and he could be the one that takes the title off of Tommaso Ciampa. Because obviously we know, as much as we love Tommaso, he's not going to probably be long term. So they're going to have somebody take that title off of him to give him the rub. We'll just have to see who it is. Kind of like a passing of the torch from the old NXT to the new one.
He's here to make the new guys.
And that's awesome of him.
Just like the old guys came in and made him.
And with that, I say we take a break.
Sounds good to me.
Alrighty, so we're going to take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about the not-so-extreme pay-per-view that's going to be happening this Sunday. It's going to be Extreme Rules. We're going to break it down. We're going to talk all about the matches and let you know our thoughts and opinions and who we think is going to win. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Burn it down!
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also use your 20% off for the month of September. You have 6-ish more days to hit that subscribe for the regular button, and you get the 20% off. It's a kind of a cool bargain. It's a cool deal. You can also follow the channel, or you can hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, Sam Roberts. It's, you know, almost like Holyfield had no business being in a boxing ring against a pro fighter on 6 days' notice.
What?
Hashtag Triller Fight Club, and I liked it because it's true. Cypher PK. Stream Snipers got me, and it's a picture of him in his car being pulled over by the police, or I should say it's a video, and he's just like, God damn it. His wife replies, what the fuck, Ollie? I leave you alone for 1 day. And he responds, they said it's all good. Thumbs up. She tries.
She does.
So he has gotten himself in some tremendous shape.
He's lost a lot of weight.
That's all I have.
That's all you have? So where to begin? We got some. Brian Gewurz, what a time, great time at WWE SmackDown and MSG. If Becky Lynch had attacked Trey Young, I would have shrieked louder than an old woman winning Plinko on The Price is Right. I was too busy admiring my fantastic outfit in the mirror. Kayla Braxton, I have an amazing joke, but the humor is so dark, I'm not going to tweet it. But just know, it's super funny. Laugh anyway. Yeah, The Price is Right is still in there. Kayla Braxton, between ride-sharing dating apps, I guess Stranger Danger isn't a thing anymore? I still think it is. Bet Online. Jeopardy host Aaron Rodgers failed to lead the Packers to a touchdown in the first half. This is why game show hosts shouldn't be quarterbacks.
Ouch.
So the other week, we talked about a big move that happened in the internet space. Dr. Lupo went from Twitch to YouTube. Remember this, chat? Remember this story? Well, a few days ago, Dr. Lupo was doing an ad on YouTube for Prime Gaming. Darth TJ tweets, Dr. Lupo, it's over. Prime Gaming, hey, I think I left my hoodie in your car. When can I come by and get it? This is Dr. Lupo. I choked on my lunch reading this. He legit did an ad on YouTube for Prime.
And the best part was he did it with Tim, who had left, and Dr. Disrespect, who got banned.
Someone else, shoot your shot to me. This is like when you break up with your ex, but still smash from time to time.
I mean, it's not a lie.
Maxwell Jacob Freeman, do I really have to go to New Jersey? Liv Morgan, New Jersey is lovely, Mr. Friedman. Baron Corbin, it's the
southern part.
The southern part. Baron Corbin, it's the absolute worst. MJF, how you holding up, buddy? Heard you won big. Baron, amazing. I'm back in the money. Thanks for offering to help when I was in need. Also, don't let anyone in New Jersey touch you. The smell will never come off. I mean, anyway. Continuing on, someone tweeted AJ Lee or AJ Mendez at this point, a picture, nothing but world champs in this club, and this picture of Big E, AJ, and Dolph. AJ, okay, we regret giving up, you up for adoption. WWE NXT, Goldie is coming home, and hashtag WWE NXT, and Tommaso holding belt. Vacant, it's a probes that it was Ciampa that captured my NXT championship last night after I beat him for Goldie back on March 2019. The series is tied 1-1. It'd be a shame if I came back for what's mine. See you soon, Tommaso. Caleb Braxton, I expressed to my best friend that I needed some more classes page, to which she responded that I should just get rid of some things. Currently in the market for a new best friend. Courage JD. Hey Yankees, I'm going to the game on Monday at the stadium. It's time to sign me to a 1-day contract. I bet a .444 freshman year and had two game-winning hits. Please consider Jack, a.k.a. Bambino. Trevor May. Seems legit to me. Refitting the third. 0.444 is some Hall of Fame numbers. Courage greater than Frank Thomas? Courage. My friend from home can vouch for me. I'm not lying. I also didn't start to begin the year because I was a total bot, but I turned it around. Everyone heard about the new 325-inch TV that cost $1.7 million?
That seems so unnecessary.
Tim the Tap Man. What a deal!
Oh dear, Tim.
Dr. Lubo at Tim the Tap Man at Best Buy. Sell this guy this TV. He'll buy it for sure. Caleb Roxon, now we're both of legal drinking age. I wonder if Steve will have a beverage with me. Although after my third glass of wine, he may take back what he said the other day about being proud of me. It's drinking time, to the tune of it's mail time. It's mail time? Zoe with Roy, if Ben Simmons understand leverage, he'd probably bend his knees when he shot free throws.
Ouch.
And one final tweet. From Fall Guys. It is officially fall, guys. So that is what we in the business call Tweet of the Week. Which means it's now time to talk about WWE Extreme Rules, or not so extreme rules, live on Peacock and the WWE Network around the world this Sunday. Beginning, I think, at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. They did the horror show, in quotations, last year, and they did it in June or July, which didn't fit a Halloween theme at all, but they went with it anyway, and it was kind of a not really horror show. And now this year we're doing...
No, it was a horror show. Someone lost an eye and we went to a swamp.
Okay, I was fine with going with it to the swamp. I'm just gonna be real.
But a human being lost an eye at the horror show.
He did not lose an eye.
He lost an eye at the horror show.
He did not lose an
eye. I watched the show. He lost an eye.
I watched the show. He lost a fake eye.
I didn't say a real eye. I said he lost an eye.
We don't even know if that was actually his eye.
I never said it was his eye. I said he lost an eye.
Anyway. So this year we are doing a much tamer version of Extreme Rules close to Halloween. Seems legit. We only have one Extreme Rules match on this card. Everything else is regular stipulations, no extras, no frills, no nothing, just wrestling matches, which is kind of strange considering the fact that this is a gimmick pay-per-view in quotations, and they're, not really doing the gimmick except for one match. So.
But to be fair, that all can change tomorrow.
That could all totally change tomorrow. They could definitely stack up the gimmicks on Friday. They could stack them up also on Saturday and Sunday, day of. So we'll have to see. So, but for right now, we are picking purely on the fact that these are all regular matches except for one, and we have to base it there because reasons. So up first, in a return from SummerSlam, we have the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship on the line. As the man, Becky Lynch, defends her title against a very focused and very motivated Bianca Belair.
So, wouldn't it be something if everything came full circle on Sunday?
What, that Bianca whoops Becky's ass and takes her title back?
In 26 seconds. Wouldn't that be something?
I would kind of be down for that, actually.
That would be amazing if that happened.
I think that would be the perfect payback to the story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if in the 26 seconds, because I really do actually want a full match from these two.
Oh, we'll get it, and I don't think it's going to be 26 seconds this Sunday, but it'd be for, like, a storytelling standpoint. Okay, you bested me, I bested you, then we have a real fight.
Yeah, like, that's the thing about this whole story, is I know a lot of people did not like this coming out of SummerSlam, and I was one of those included that was like, I'm not sure about this. But they've done a nice job of having Bianca kind of bounce back and be like, okay, bitch, all right, I see you. You came, you saw, you took my title. Okay, all right, there's nothing I can do about that right now. So I just have to pick my moment. And she picked her moment and she challenged Becky and Becky accepted. And
well,
now they're going to fight for the title.
Becky was more forced into it. She turned her down a couple times.
Okay, Becky's not a cheap date.
No, I mean, she's... Okay, so she turned her down a couple times, and she's been getting the heat for it, which is, like, perfect. Like, I don't need to do this. I'm big-time Bex. I'm bigger than this.
Which means Becky Lynch knows that Bianca Belair can beat her.
Oh, yeah.
So, we also had one of my favorite things, because SmackDown was in Knoxville last week, and you had Bianca Belair get the key to the city from the mayor of Knox County, Kane. I love that, like, in context, in storyline, in canon, Kane is a whole ass mayor. Mm-hmm. Like, we just accept that this man, who's a complete and utter psychopath, and lit people on fire for years and tormented his brother, that, like, he got his shit together, and now he's a mayor of a county in Tennessee. Like, it's fine. We're all fine with this.
Well, I remember, because it happened when he became corporate. So he refined his image. I mean, because they clearly defined it. One's corporate Kane, one's mayor Kane, one's demon Kane. When you put the mask on with the fake hair, he's demon Kane. And that's, demon Kane's the one who did all the horrible things to people.
Okay, unmasked demon Kane also did horrible things to people. Like, corporate Kane did horrible things to people.
Yeah, but that's besides the point.
That's not beside the point. Kane is a very sadistic individual, no matter whether he's in spandex or a suit. So, I love that we accept that Kane is just a whole ass mayor. Like, it's just, this is the thing. This is what happened. Like, Undertaker is off jigsawing people in his house over in Urn, and Kane is the mayor of Knox County. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Like, I love this. I want Netflix to do a series about this. I don't know why, but I just... It would be a hilarious, like, almost comedy, dramedy. You have Undertaker off torturing people in his house, and his brother has to come bail him out again because he took the wrong person to torture. And it's like, now, Mark, we talked about this. You have to work on your people skills. And then they light people on fire and everybody laughs. I don't know. But yeah, it just... I love that this is just widely accepted. But yeah, we had Bianca get the key to Knoxville and Knox County, and it was a very lovely presentation. Kane looks really good. Like, he's lost weight. Somebody is getting himself in shape.
So, and I just love that he came out, did the whole presentation, and when Becky came out, he just bailed.
He's like, all right, I'm done, bye.
And let the two girls go at it. And so Becky came out and did, like, was there to help celebrate Bianca. It's Bianca's day, and then she went for an attack, and Bianca was ready for it this time.
Well, he is getting ready to go into re-election cycle, so that could be it. Well, Kane was never really good with women, as I recall.
I mean, he tried to make a baby with one of them, and then...
Well, he was dating Tori, and she cheated on him, and then he was with Lita,
mm-hmm.
and we all know how that ended.
It wasn't my fault.
It wasn't my fault. Then AJ tried to climb up all on him and just have him for herself, which, good for her. And he wasn't too into that. So yeah, Kane has not had the best or worst experiences with women. But yeah, so he's just like, all right, I did my thing. But I liked what was so cute, by the way, about this, was he comes out and he does the arm drop and he's like, all right, I still got it.
Like, yeah. You still got it.
Like, it just, he's just like, all right, shrug. Cool. I can still do it.
I still have those powers.
Awesome. I have my fire back. I'm happy. But yeah, back to Bianca and Becky. So,
They've done a good job of making Bianca the top babyface, as she's always been, but they've added a little... They've finally given her a heel she can play off that isn't Sasha Banks. Becky has gone from being beloved and cheered, and now she's getting her booze. She's working the heel style. People are, like, thrown back by, I can't believe they turned Becky heel. We've talked about it for a while. It's like, but that was the only place this character could go. She was trending that way before she got pregnant. She was becoming big time Bex back then, in case people forgot she was headed in that direction. She got fully cocky when she was fighting Shayna. She was headed this way. Now she's just continuing where that character was going. So I don't, like, that's always been the thing. It's like, this is where the character was going. And I liked how she cut a promo, like, you were all chanting for me. We went Becky, and now I'm here, and now you're cheering for her? You're cheering for her? You're chanting for me. Now you're cheering for her? Like, they're doing a really fantastic job of making this about Bianca and using Becky Lynch's star power to elevate Bianca to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's this month or another month in the very near future, Bianca will take this belt from Becky Lynch. I'm not saying it's happening on Sunday. Because it might not. But I would assume it happens within the next 6 weeks that Becky drops the belt to Bianca. I would drop it on SmackDown on the Draft Night Show. If she doesn't win it on Sunday, I would drop it on the Draft Night Show. Which would be, what, 5 days later?
Mm-hmm.
I would do it there. or on the Raw, whatever. You know what I mean? I would do it. I would get the belt off of her by then. Because she doesn't need it. Because I also think she's going to Raw. Becky, that is.
I don't think she's going to Raw. I think she's down on SmackDown.
We'll see. But that's just my feeling on it. But Becky will drop the belt to Bianca and give her back her belt. And Bianca will go back on her way. And you'll see where she goes. The story they're doing, they're telling the right story here. You have the confident, cocky Becky against the athlete Bianca Belair, who believes she's better than anyone. Now she has to test it going up against the man. And from all accounts, they're having really good matches on these house shows that they've been working. So they're fine-tuning this match. So come Sunday, we're going to see a good match. Because let's think about it. Becky's had to work off the ring rust.
She has.
Because she's been out of the ring for what?
She's been out of the ring at least for 9 months.
16 months?
No, I think... I would say she's probably been out of the ring.
She gave it up in April.
And she was, what, probably 6 weeks to 3 months pregnant, somewhere in there in April, because she had it in she was just pregnant. I would say she's probably been out of the ring for at least a year. Let me finish.
I'm not saying training. I'm saying a match.
Okay, yes, a match. It's been 16 months.
That's what I meant. Not training. 16 months of working a real match in front of people. That's where I was going.
Yeah, no, she hasn't had a full-blown match in 16 months. And she's gotten herself into incredible shape. She's been training. We know she's been training really, really hard. There's been pictures of her at the Black and Brave Academy with Seth and the kids. And they've all been working together. And she's been working her way back to the ring.
But that's one, like, working in there is one thing. But getting in front of a crowd and working a real opponent with real adrenaline.
Oh, that's something different.
That's so different. So it's like... Everyone was expecting SummerSlam to be the thing. I don't think she could have done it and had the match people wanted then. Would have been good? Probably. But I don't think it would have been the match people wanted out of it, because Becky, like, that burst of adrenaline you get when you get in front of that crowd one for the first time in 16, 18 months, that's something different. So the fact that she's been able to work house shows, what, every weekend or just about since she's come back, she worked the European tour, they did this match as the main event on the tour, this is going to be good Sunday.
Like I said, I would love to see a full-blown match between these two. I don't want Bianca to beat Becky in 26 seconds, but I do want Bianca to win, because I want a rivalry between these two where it's Becky is kind of, at least in terms of the four horsewomen, they're all relatively equal in terms of where they're at on a wrestling basis, but Becky is kind of that next step for Bianca before she goes for Charlotte, because she's ticked off Bayley, she's ticked off Sasha, and now she wants Becky. And I would love to see a rivalry between these two where they do go back and forth. I'm not saying the title has to move a lot, but I would like to see them trade it off a couple times, just because it's Bianca gets her payback, she gets Becky, and Becky's like, oh no you don't. No, I'm not having this. Do you know who the fuck I am? I'm big time Becky. You just don't get to do that to me. And Becky challenges, and now Becky has to chase Bianca. And you have that really feud and rivalry between the two where you build it to where you could take it to somewhere like Survivor Series. I don't think you can necessarily get it to Rumble or Mania. You could try, but you'd have to have a lot of interference with other feuds in between. Like, I'd really like them to just get something super hot between the two and take it to Survivor Series. Where maybe you could, because we already had Hell in a Cell this year, didn't we?
Yeah, in July. Or June. It was the last Thunderdome pay-per-view.
That's right. Because this is something that you could potentially put in Hell in a Cell, and unfortunately we're not going to do it unless they break out Hell in a Cell for something special like this. But you could build this rivalry to something of that level where you require something like that to have them settle it once and for all.
We have,
of who is the superior woman.
We have Crown Jewel, Survivor Series, and TLC left, I think.
Then you could maybe get it to Rumble.
I don't think you get it to Rumble, but you can... If you want to put legs on it, you can get it. You could do a change in Survivor Series and a rematch at TLC in a ladder match or something to finish it.
Yeah.
Because I think both shouldn't... I think that would be enough. I think a 3-month... If you really want to go for it and you're not moving either one off the brand, 3 months is a good feud for them. Because it allows you to go back to this months down the line and it wasn't overdone.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I think for this in particular, I want to see Bianca win. I want to see her get her revenge and get her title back, and she's back on top, and now Becky has to chase. And Becky's got to be like, well, crap. And she comes back like a house of fire and is like, okay, all right, let's go. Let's fight. I want my title back. You just don't get to take it off of me like that. Like, she really does get a taste of her own medicine of you have Bianca hyper-focused, hyper-ready for Becky because she sees Becky. Like, that was the thing about SummerSlam was that she didn't see Becky coming. And Becky was able to one-up her and trick her and just take her out long enough to get the title. It wasn't done in the best fashion. It wasn't done in an honorable fashion. It was, I'm just going to take your shit and leave.
So, something about the Rumble I should address with it. You can't get there. Because the Rumble's going to probably be the first week in February. That's a little long.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You can't quite get it to Rumble, but you could definitely get it to Survivor Series, or you could get it to the end of the year, but I'd like to see it done on, like, a Survivor Series type thing.
It could happen at day one.
Oh, God. Such a horrible name for a show. But, I mean, it could happen in Atlanta, but I doubt it. But yeah, I'm going Becky Lynch on this, Bianca. I'm going Bianca on this because I want to see Bianca win.
I can see Bianca winning in 25 seconds to one up Becky, beat her quicker.
Because she's the EST.
Yeah, just to spite her.
Spite is an incredibly powerful motivator. I'm just going
to
say that.
And you can do that and build to a bigger match down the road between the two. I can also see them, Becky winning by the DQ on Sunday just to move it along.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do the rematch on Friday with what should be a big audience that way. I think Bianca gets belt soon. If she does, I'm going Becky wins, but don't be surprised if Bianca wins it. I wouldn't be surprised if Bianca wins it on Sunday in a relatively fast fashion. That's my, like, bold prediction is it's a 26 second match or a quicker match than that, and Bianca wins, but my pick is Becky Lynch. Magic 8 Ball, will Becky Lynch retain? It said yes. So, Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 1.
That would be the man.
Okay. Alright. I kind of want to reorder things.
Just pick one, how'd she go?
Because I want to talk about these together. So, I'm going to talk about, or we're going to talk about, the WWE Universal Championship, the actual Extreme Rules match on this card, where it is Roman Reigns taking on the Demon Finn Balor.
Okay.
This is the first time that we have seen the Demon in over a year. First time the Demon will wrestle in over a year.
When was the last time?
It's whenever he feuded. Is right before. No, he didn't use the Demon against Bray.
No, he didn't.
It's been a hot minute. I think it's actually been closer to 2 years. We figured this out since we've seen the Demon. It's been a long time.
It's been a couple of years. This is where we need an intern, and he's too busy in class to help us out with facts and figures.
God damn it, Brent, you getting your educations. Was it Rollins? It might have been Rollins. I don't know. Anyway, it's been a minute since we've seen the Demon. So, you have Roman Reigns, who's been champion for a year. No one has been able to defeat him. He has faced the biggest and baddest they have, and he's taken them all down. The only exception would be Brock Lesnar, who's coming for his ass. Anyway, so here's an interesting quandary with this match, is that the Demon, at least in the way that he was before he disappeared, was the most powerful entity that they had on Raw or SmackDown. He was the strongest supernatural outside of The Undertaker guy they had. This was pre-Fiend, pre-all of that. Then the Fiend kind of came along and I think kind of took the Demon's spot from him, and that's when the Demon disappeared, went down to NXT, and then he came back.
I'm going to cut you off. We left the Demon in Jihad on June 7th, 2019, when he successfully retained his championship over Andrade for the Intercontinental title. So we left.
So 2 years.
So 2 years in this past June. So it's a little close to 2.5 years since we've seen the Demon. He was last seen in Jihad.
He found his way home. He had to walk. It was a really long walk. Anyway, so this raises interesting questions about Finn and Roman, because they've established Roman as really the strongest person outside of Brock in WWE.
Could be even stronger.
Could be even stronger than Brock. We don't know yet. But very clearly, Roman is at the top of the mountain in terms of the pecking order. He is the most powerful individual that they have. You're pairing him against the Fiend, who is a previous powerful individual, and we really don't know where he stands in the pecking order. And this match will determine
Demon.
That. I'm sorry, what?
Demon, not Fiend.
I'm sorry, Demon Finn Balor. It's late. I'm tired.
I did the same thing on Sunday. It's okay.
I don't know how I feel about this match. I am a little bitter about the Demon. I am. So, I'm not mad at it, but I'm bitter about it. And if you know why I'm bitter about it, you know why.
Because you did the Floydian slip of Fiend.
Yeah. They basically just got rid of the Fiend and they brought back the Demon. Because I feel like they realized that they completely fucked up with Bray and letting him go. And either Bray doesn't want to come back or they don't want Bray back. I'm not sure which, but they realized that they fucked up. And so they need the supernatural character probably to make the networks happy. And they're like, okay, well, but we have the Demon. Remember? Like, we have Finn Balor. We have the Demon. We could totally do the Demon. And honestly, it's like the same fucking thing. Just without the puppets. Legit.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So let me jump in for a second. Roman Reigns, as you said, he's the top guy. He's the big boss. He's the head of the table. Yada yada yada. He's the guy who's defeated a beast. He's slayed a monster. He's defeated a fiend. He's beating every single person that he's come across. Right.
He didn't beat a fiend. He pinned him. Anyway, go on.
But I'm just saying, he's taken out the bloodline, he's taken out the Kevin Owens, he's defeated every single person that's ever been thrown in front of him since he became the head of the table. Going forward, he has to face the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, in Saudi on October 21st. Before he gets there, he has to take out the Demon. And another challenge standing in his way. If WWE was interested in making someone else, they would put a guy like Finn Balor, who's, as I was looking things up to find out things, he's 40. So, you know, there's that. It's not like they're taking advantage of a young guy. He's an older established talent at this point, even though he doesn't look anywhere near 40. Roman Reigns is the guy, so he has to defeat everything he can and hopefully then defeat the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar. And then you've fully established. You're doing everything to make him look incredibly strong. Does it suck that it's going to come at the hands of the Demon? Yeah, but guess what? The Demon can recover from a loss. It doesn't take away from him. I mean, he lost to Samoa Joe in the past, and the Demon is fine. We all couldn't remember the last time we saw the Demon, so that's how much impact the Demon really has, you know?
Oh, yeah, and like I said, I think they're pulling the Demon out purely because they can pull it out. It's a play. It's an attraction. Because, again, I think they realize that they fucked up and they don't have that attraction character anymore. And they need it. People want that type of character, even though it's like, yeah, it's not serious and it's supernatural and we all know it's fake. It's an attraction for a specific group of people, maybe people who are able to suspend their disbelief a little bit longer and go, hey, this guy's really cool and they're really into him. And they also know that the Demon sells merchandise like gangbusters. So that has it going for it.
It does. Well, I want to answer the lands for it. Curious to know who gets the ultimate rub. Imagine if it's Karrion Kross.
I mean, it could be.
Could be.
I was gonna bring that up because it's like, okay, all right. So you have Roman. He's beaten all challengers. You have the Demon, who's making his triumphant return to SmackDown after essentially 2 years. Who wins? That's the ultimate question. Who wins? Roman Reigns has been champion for over a year. Do you continue to put the title on him and continue to throw challengers at him, especially with the draft coming and you can refresh his set of challengers? Or do you take the title off of him and you give it to the Demon and you have a new fresh set of challengers coming out of the draft for the Demon? That's a huge question. I think Roman has done a wonderful job at the top. I think he's been a great champion. It was slow to start. I think it took at least me a hot minute to get into it because it was like, I think he was trying to figure out the character. And what really helped him, I think, has been having his cousins and having Heyman there. And you form the stable of the bloodline. And he is the leader of the bloodline. And he has those three that he can play off of and work with and find his way as the head of the table. And I like where how far he's come with it in terms of figuring it out, because it was shaky at the beginning. On the flip side, you have Finn. He's coming back. He's coming off a successful NXT run. He did a good job down in NXT as champion. He wasn't as impactful as I think anybody wanted him to be. But that was a really weird situation, because I think he was supposed to go down there for like a month or 6 weeks or some shit like that. And he got trapped in NXT by COVID. And he just chose to stay.
He chose to stay, and he has enjoyed his best life. He got married, and
yeah, he did all the things during the COVID season. So
NXT was his wrestling honeymoon,
basically. And then they brought him back to the main roster, and we're here. Mm-hmm. Part of what makes Roman's character, I don't want to say interesting, but part of what makes the character, is the power, right? Is that he wields this power of the title, that it's like the ultimate thing to have, even though he's like, doesn't acknowledge that he's a complete chess piece for the people at corporate and he really doesn't have any power. That's a whole other thing. Roman's key to his character is that he wields all the power because he is the champion. And what he says goes. He is the head of SmackDown. He is the leader of SmackDown. What happens to that character when he no longer has that power? Because as we all know, he harangued one cousin through physical, mental, and emotional abuse by forcing him to join him because he lost a match. And then his other cousin joined him because that's where his brother was, and they had a battle for his brother's soul, and then his brother was like, yeah, no, I'm out. And they basically all had to come together as a family to sort of fix that situation, which I still think the one cousin's playing Roman 100%, but we'll see. So I would be very curious to see how the Roman Reigns character looks without a title and what he's capable of doing without a title and how dangerous he really is in terms of getting his title back. Because I thought about this, that it's like you look at Roman, right? And you look at him as a character in terms of like getting his hands dirty, in terms of trying to advance. He really hasn't done that. If you always look at like when he's trying to do career advancement or when he's in a group, he always has somebody else to do his dirty work for him, whether it's in the Shield, whether it's in the Bloodline, whether it's just with various partners on Raw and SmackDown, mainly Dean Ambrose. He has those people that can do things for him, so he himself can kind of have that clear conscience where he doesn't dirty his hands with this kind of more grubby stuff. So would Roman have to sort of lower himself to do some of the grubby stuff to get his title back, especially away from Finn? Because now it's, okay, all right, you had the demon come in, he beat Roman, so how does Roman beat the fiend? Or not the fiend, the demon. I want it to be the fiend so bad. I miss Bray. Anyway, so what does that look like? But at the same time, it's like if Roman beats the demon and sends him packing, you could send Finn to Raw, and it would be fine, and he could recover. But I feel like it's like the interesting story with Roman will be, if they don't do it here, what he looks like without a title. Is Heyman loyal to him? Are the Usos loyal to him? Because he rules through fear. He rules through power, or the supposed power that he has. We all know Paul Heyman. You don't trust him any further than you can throw him, right? Paul follows the money and he follows the power. And hey, guess what? If Brock Lesnar takes that title off of Roman,
Paul will jump ship. Paul already jumped ship and jumped back.
Yeah. So, like, Paul's going to go wherever the title is, because that's where the money is and that's where the power is, and he's a leech. And that's what he does. And Roman acknowledges that Heyman is a leech. He knows what he's got there, but he's willing to use Heyman for as long as he can in order to benefit from Heyman. Very similar to how Brock is, where Brock is like, all right, we're kind of friends, but I know you're a little weasel and you're going to probably sell me out. So, but in the meantime, until you do, let's work together. Let's essentially be friends. Because this also ties into the tag team championship. I really kind of want to see Roman lose, just because I'm interested in that story of what happens when Roman Reigns does not have his title, and what does Roman Reigns intend to do to get it back. whether it's on Raw or it's on SmackDown.
It'd be interesting to see what he does to try to get it back. It's the reversal of fortunes. You move the belt away from the power source in Roman Reigns, and you leave the belts on the Usos to see how that lies, or do you drop the belts and have them have no power whatsoever? Because those are two different scenarios.
Because in tying into the tag team match, because there's, you know, not a lot to talk about here. It's the Usos versus the Street Profits. It's going to be really, really good. There's no stipulation tied to this yet. It's for the tag team championships. What does it look like if Roman and the Usos lose all their titles? What does it look like if the Usos lose their titles? Are they going to be, you know, subjected to Roman's disdain and disappointment and potentially verbal and mental abuse because they lost their titles? Are they going to be kicked out of the group because they failed?
I don't think they're going to be kicked out of the group.
But what are they going to be required to do to get back into Roman's good graces? If all three lose, what does that look like? What does that picture look like?
It's an interesting picture, right? To see them without the power. I get where you're going with the scenario, but I think it's too soon to do that.
It might be a little soon, but I'm just like stating that I'm really curious about that to see what that looks like, because that's a whole other side of the character and a whole dimension of that character for all three of them, where you have Roman suffer that fall from grace. And I feel like it needs to be somebody really, really significant that does it. And I don't know if Finn is that person.
No, he's not the person.
I don't know if Brock is the person.
No, you need the next big thing. You need the next guy. Whoever going to be the next man is has to be the one to shift the power. Brock shifting it doesn't shift the power because it's Brock. We've already seen how he works. Keith Lee is not going to be the person. Sorry. Good as Keith Lee is, he's not the shift in power that the business needs. I don't know who that person is, though. I don't think they know yet either.
I don't think they know yet either, or it's going to be someone like Dwayne who comes in and causes Roman to suffer that fall from grace. And what I mean by that is Roman's in a title match with, say, we mentioned him earlier, Karrion Kross, right? And Roman's been out here talking all this shit about how he's the head of the table, he's the tribal chief, he's this, he's that, he's in charge of the family, yada di yada di yada di yada da. We all know that's kind of false because Roman is a self-proclaimed head, but we also kind of know who the real head of that family is, and his name is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, our Lord and Savior. And so what happens when Dwayne is like, all right, I've had enough of you, I've had enough of your false, you know, claims, and Dwayne costs Roman the championship just to get his hands on Roman, just to basically take that title out of the equation. Because the title doesn't need to be in that equation between those two. That's purely settling family business. You don't need to put the title on The Rock. He's not going to want to win it again to carry it because he's going to be busy shooting movies. So it's like he just needs to come and do his one off and leave. So it's like you have either Dwayne get to the cousins and he convinces the Usos, you need to betray Roman, and it's the Usos and The Rock betray Roman and you have that shift in power, or you just have The Rock do it directly and he costs Roman and the title goes to someone like a Karrion Kross, for example, and then you have Roman go off and fight Dwayne potentially at WrestleMania, and that's how you get that match.
If Dwayne's going to work WrestleMania, that's still up in the air. I think Dwayne's coming up for Survivor Series just to be there. We'll see if it sets up anything. Okay.
I think Roman retains.
I was going to say, with all that said, we got to get through two matches here. You have Roman retaining?
I have Roman retaining, and for the tag team match...
Hold on. Let's help Brent out here. I'm going okay. Roman, you're going Roman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Magic 8-Ball, does Roman Reigns retain? All signs point to yes. Spin a wheel.
Wrestler 2.
That's Finn Balor. That was only to help Brent. Now we go to tag titles.
Tag titles, this is going to be a good match. It's going to be a fun match. Like I said, there's no stip to this yet. I would like to see a stipulation put on this just because I feel like they don't need it, but it would be fun to have one.
I mentioned this on Sunday. A ladder match between these two teams
would be insane.
That would be fantastic. I'm going Usos retain.
I'd like to see the Street Profits get them again just because they haven't had them in a while. And I'd like to see them get something going with the Street Profits again. especially if you have like Bianca win the title. You could kind of bring those three back together if you wanted to, or you don't have to. Because again, I do like her on her own. I do like them on their own, but they're a fun trio together. But yeah, I would say the Usos retain. I don't think they're going to lose the titles just yet.
Magic 8-Ball, do the Usos retain? Yes.
Okay.
Magical Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
Which is the Usos.
Alrighty, up next we have Liv Morgan taking on Carmella. This is kind of a quick little setup, but they are clearly behind Liv. They are clearly pushing Liv. I think this is going to be fun. I think they're going to slap the hell out of each other. And I think Liv's going to win.
So Liv has beaten Carmella a couple times on television in the last few months. I think Carmella got one up on Liv at the very beginning. But Liv has had Carmella's number dating all the way back before Money in the Bank, when they first came back in front of fans. Liv has been eyeing up Carmella the last few weeks. You've seen her backstage eyeing her up and whatnot. Liv fights Zelina on SmackDown tomorrow to kind of get her momentum going in against Carmella. Okay, if Bianca wins the belt, it makes more sense for Carmella to go over, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if the plan's for a heel Becky to be your champion and you're not going to take the title off of her just yet, and you want to put some space between Bianca and Becky for a match, Liv wins just to be another challenger, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be like a breather match between the two, like on television, just to be something different. Or in Saudi or whatever, like the breather match, so you don't force it back to back to back. I'm gonna go Liv wins because I'm going Becky's keeping the belt for right now. So I'm going Liv and you're going Liv.
I'm going Liv just because they are very clearly behind Liv. They are pushing her. I think they've kind of backed off Carmella a little bit, and it would make sense to have Liv win here.
All right, Magic 8-Ball, does Carmella win? Ask again later. Okay, Magic 8-Ball, I'm asking you again later. Will Liv Morgan win? Just concentrate and ask again. Magic 8-Ball. First, I'm going to spin the wheel.
Wrestler 2.
That's Carmella. 8-Ball, does Carmella win? It is certain. We just had to concentrate a little bit. All right, what's next?
All right, up next, we have... This is going to be fun as shit. The WWE champion, or not championship, the United States Championship is on the line as Damian Priest,
Damian Priest, Sheamus, and Jeff Hardy battle in a triple threat match for the U.S. title.
Dang, there we go. I'm sorry. I feel bad for Jeff Hardy in this. I really do. I kind of wish he wasn't in it, but I understand why he's in it. I really just kind of want to see Damian Priest and Sheamus beat the shit out of each other.
Which was good at SummerSlam.
It was really good at SummerSlam, but I want to see it again without a third person in there. Because I get it. It's Jeff Hardy, I think, is there to honestly eat the pin. And that's all he's really there for. I have no feeling that they're going to take the title off of Priest right now. I think he's doing very well with it. They're still very clearly behind him. And putting the title on Jeff Hardy makes no sense whatsoever. Unless you just want to do it purely for shock value.
So here's the one thing I could say you could have, because you don't want Damian to lose, right? Sheamus could beat Jeff.
And I think if they were to move the title back on Sheamus, that would be perfectly acceptable. Because Sheamus was a good U.S. champion. They've kind of reinvigorated him again. They're making him exactly what he should be and what he's really, really good at, which is being kind of that cocky dickhead brawler, right? Like, he's an asshole that you want to punch in the face. But he's also a lot of fun when you get him drunk. So you don't really want to punch him that hard because y'all could go get beers afterwards and it'd be cool.
So the reason why I said Damian, if you want to get the belt off of Damian, because with Big E on top, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense for Damian to be in the top title contention on Raw, right? What if Damian moves to SmackDown?
Damian could move to SmackDown.
So get the belt off of him, leave the U.S. title on Raw, and that would be the only reason I'm thinking they put Jeff in this match, is because they want to take the belt off of Damian really quick because they want to move him over to SmackDown to be Roman's next challenger after Brock.
Okay.
That's just a theory in my head, like why they made it a triple threat match.
I think they made it a triple threat to have Jeff eat the pin. Sorry, Jeff. I just don't know from who. I feel like, because here's the thing, the IC and the US titles can switch.
Well,
really, really easy. And you could have Damian retain and he takes the U.S. title with him, mm-hmm, to SmackDown. And then who and then Shinsuke could come to Raw.
Yeah, easy.
Or you could have Damian lose the U.S. title that night on either Raw or SmackDown to somebody else, or he's forced to relinquish it. Like, that could be another thing where it's like Damian has to take the title with him and they force him to let it go because it's a Raw title and it has to stay on Raw.
Yeah, I guess. That hasn't been a thing in the past, but yeah.
Well, they can do new things. Like, there's nothing wrong with, like, doing new things.
Oh, I understand this. I'm just throwing out scenarios. Damien retains. That's my pick. What's your pick?
I'm with Rock on that. I say Damien retains. I think he's doing a great job as champion. I don't see any need to take the title off him just yet.
Magic 8-Ball, does Jeff Hardy win the U.S. title? You may rely on it. Ooh.
Mm.
Wrestler 3.
Jeff Hardy.
Wrestler 3! All right. And last but certainly not least, in the feud that I don't think any of us thought we needed, but we're getting. For the Raw Women's Championship, Charlotte Flair taking on Alexa Bliss has been a hot little number that they've been putting together. I like these two together. We've had a lot of good stuff from both of them. Like, Charlotte, as much as we all love to hate her, she's very, very, very good at her job. Same goes for Alexa. We've seen a lot of humanization of Alexa Bliss in the last few weeks in this feud, especially on Monday.
What's been interesting is internet's favorite doll, Lily, is completely over and selling like gangbusters, and it's made Alexa Bliss over in the process. As she, the moment she came out 3 weeks ago to challenge, crowd went nuts. Crowd's gone nuts every single time. Like, it's working. Everything they're doing with Alexa is working as the top babyface on the brand. Whether people on the internet like it or not and hate the hocus pocus, the crowd in the building, the ones paying ticket prices, love it.
Can we just have our hocus pocus bullshit? Like, everybody bought into The Undertaker for 30 years. I don't understand why Alexa Bliss is a problem for people.
Hold on. No one walked out. Continue.
They didn't all walk out. Like, people went to get merged. People probably went to go to the bathroom, but nobody, like, left the show. Like, that was what I was talking about earlier, where it's basically specific wrestling journalists.
Dave Meltzer.
I wasn't going to say any names. I was trying to be nice.
Dave Meltzer.
Basically fabricated a story saying that, like, 5,000 people or whatever.
1,500.
1,500 people, thank you. 1,500 people walked out of the Charlotte and Alexa Bliss segment, and Alexa Bliss took to Twitter to basically refute it, as did a lot of other fans who were in the building, that they're like, this is bullshit, this didn't happen.
Oh, someone posted a picture, oh, look at all these empty seats. Yeah, it was by the hard camera. They don't sell the seats by the hard camera.
Like, this is a whole ass separate rant that I don't want to go into, but I'm just going to say this, and I don't really care, because I'm tired right now. There is a very clear, concerted effort on the part of wrestling media to attempt to fabricate a war between AEW and WWE. They want it so bad that they're just literally jizzing themselves every day over the fact that they could make that happen. And so what they're doing is they're out here fabricating stories to make WWE look bad and make AEW look as good as possible. And does WWE do everything right? No. Do they do bad stuff? Yes. Should the bad stuff and the good stuff be reported? Absolutely. Is AEW 100% perfect and they do everything right all the time? No. Fuck no. They don't. Should we report the good stuff that they do and the bad stuff that they do? Yes, absolutely. Because both companies are ultimately the same thing. They're both human. And you shouldn't be out here spreading lies and misinformation and false truths about stuff that didn't happen.
And then the best part was the other observer of wrestling. It was like a few hundred people. Again, you're making up stories. It didn't happen. Maybe 50 people walked to get submerged. Maybe 100 people. Maybe some people left for the night because it's late at night and they have kids. It wasn't because of Alexa and Charlotte. That's not a narrative. That's actually a thing. Oh, no, they weren't buying in the promo. That crowd bought into every single word they were saying. They were loud. They were cheering. They were booing at every single thing they were saying on Monday night. Don't believe me? Go watch back. Listen to the crowd. Look at the people's faces. React to the things that are saying. If 1,500 people out of 8,000 people walked out of a building, we would have seen it because it wouldn't have been the cheap seats alone just walking away. You would have had to have people in every section walking away, and you would have noticed it throughout the night because you still had an hour to go and you saw the entire building. So people who want to who observe wrestling, who can get some facts right, got fed some false gossip and decide, hey, this is a story. And how do we know it's 1,500 people? Why? Do we count every single head that walked through a door? No! No one's sitting there counting how many people walk through the door. They don't count those people who leave. That's... You're making up a story to just to say, hey, AEW is better than WWE, guys. Go watch that product. Not knocking AEW. The show they put on last night was fantastic. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's really good. But stop with the internet war. If there wanted to be a war, WWE would have leaked Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson's appearance in AEW. Because guess what?
They can.
They knew. Bryan told them whenever he was debuting. Boom. Anyway, back to the match.
Yes. I'm excited for this. I'm very curious about how they do this. There is no stipulation on this right now. Just because of the popularity of Alexa, because of the popularity of the doll, because it's been a long time coming, I can see Alexa Bliss getting her hands on the title, especially since Nikki Cross and Rhea Ripley are currently your Raw Tag Team Champions. Nikki's out of the main title picture for right now. So you have Alexa take the title off of Charlotte and become your champion, and she carries the title, and Charlotte doesn't know what to do with that because she got beaten by someone who she considers inferior. And does Charlotte come back and attempt to take her title back, or do we see them take another piece of Bray's character, give it to Alexa, which is Charlotte has an attitude adjustment because she encountered Alexa. She encountered the darkness or whatever the fuck is inside Alexa, and it causes her to change, and it causes her to change for the good. I don't think so, because Charlotte's grown into the heel role. She's really making it her own. She's really working with it. It's getting over exceptionally well. I don't see the need to make her a babyface, but that could be a after effect of Alexa taking the title. I expect this to be physical. I would like to see a stip put on this, but it doesn't have to be there. I'd really like to see like a false count anywhere, no holds barred, something like that.
So I'm going to take a page out of your playbook.
Shenanigans?
The shenanigans, yes. We're going in the shenanigans route. I don't think this ends clean. I think of all the matches on this show, we're not going to get a finish that people will like. I don't think we're going to get a finish at all that will be with someone's shoulders being pinned to a mat. They've been really a hot potato with the belt when it comes to Charlotte lately. I think we're going to keep the belt on Charlotte to put some stability on it so it's not where it's a hot potato. Because we just hot potatoed it coming out of, what was it, SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Where she won the belt and then dropped it the next night. I think Charlotte, for the Charlotte character, she needs some stability with the belt. I know she's held it 30,000 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she still needs to have a scenario where she's not a flip-flopping champion, because a lot of those reigns were flip-flop titles with Sasha in the very beginning, like 4 or 5 years ago, where they flipped the belt back and forth every 6 weeks between the two. So that's where it really got jacked up in terms of number. I think for the Charlotte character, she needs to hold the belt longer than a month to kind of have it make it feel her own, instead of a title that's flipping around and just beating Charlotte for the belt here for Alexa. Is you haven't really defeated a real true champion, because she's a girl holding the belt, but she's not a champion because she hasn't really done much with it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think this match ends in a count out or a DQ, just because there's more potential to get with this feud. You can get to another match between the two down the line and then you can change the title or have Charlotte beat Alexa, because I think they're too high on Alexa to have her eat the pin yet, and I think they don't want Charlotte to lose again. So a double DQ, a DQ on someone's part, a count, Charlotte walks out, there's Lily stuff, something. Something's going to cause this matchup to not end cleanly. People will be mad. People will throw fits on the internet.
But will they cancel their Peacock subscriptions?
They may. Who knows? Hashtag cancel WWE Network. It's a trend for years. It's a meme. I just see this match out of everything on this show as a thing. Like, it's not going to be clean. So I'm going Alexa wins by DQ. Because I think Charlotte gets herself disqualified to keep her belt. That way Alexa can get the pop, but not the belt.
Yeah, I think a loss for Alexa to eat a clean loss would hurt the character a lot more than people realize, because they've really done a good job of building her up to this moment and teasing this moment, right? Because this, and this sort of did come out of left field, because you had Alexa for a long time. She didn't wrestle. She was in the funhouse. She was with Bray. She was the sidekick. And then very gradually she took over and she did all the work with Randy that didn't involve ring work, right? But they really built and established the character. And then after Bray's rather unfortunate departure from WWE, they put Alexa kind of back into the women's division, and they started pushing her again as a wrestler and not just a character. And you had her feud with Eva, which was a little pointless, but it helped to establish Eva back in the company. It helped to establish Doudrop, and now you have that feud going. And now you have Alexa kind of turning her sights to Charlotte, where it's like, okay, all right, I've sat on the sidelines long enough. I want the title again. I know I can take the title from you because I have magics, and I have my doll, and I have myself, and I've beaten, you know, I won the title before. I can beat you for the title again. I know that. And then on the flip side, you have Charlotte kind of being the ultimate villain, right? The ultimate heel. She is the opportunity. She's so stuck up in herself that she doesn't see the bigger picture, because she, to her, she is the big picture, right? Like, that is the character. There is no one else other than her. She's the best. She's the greatest. She's all the things. Her shit don't stink. So now you have Alexa coming in and you have Charlotte coming in, and they're both ultra confident. I think to have Alexa lose, that will hurt the Alexa character, because if you have her lose clean, it's like, well, where the fuck do you go from here with her? Because I feel like a lot of the credibility that you built up with her is gone in an instant. And then you have to kind of rebuild her a little bit. And what do you rebuild her as? Do you kill the character that she's doing now, and maybe we see more of the old Alexa Bliss come back because the darkness is gone and Bray no longer has his hold on her? You know, LeMans brings it up. Does Alexa go to SmackDown? That could be another option, is she loses and you send Alexa over to SmackDown. I don't see that, just because they're going to keep USA happy.
You gotta keep people on Raw.
Yeah, I feel like Alexa's going to stay on Raw just because you got to keep USA happy. But that is a possibility. She could move and you could bounce people around as you need to in order to balance the rosters. But for right now, I don't see her moving. They are also doing things of building up Shayna Baszler. Now, here's the fun little twist about that. You had Shayna and Alexa do a little thing with the doll, right? And everybody shit all over it and everybody hated it. And they took the doll away from her because the reaction to that was so visceral that they're like, okay, no, we're going to rethink this. So if Alexa beats Charlotte for the title, you have Shayna come for Alexa. And you have that feud between the two.
Also, just going to point this out, it makes no sense to take the twisted darkness character of Alexa Bliss away from her.
No.
30 days before Halloween.
Yeah, no, that makes no sense.
Just pointing that one out. If she transforms back into her older self, it'll be past the Halloween time.
I don't see her doing that, because I think she's just having too much fun with it. And it's helped to establish her as unique and have her stand out.
She was on record saying she's enjoying this. She's taking acting classes. She wants to go and do other acting projects. But this is a good help for her, where it's like she's playing something completely different. Her coming out and acting all like Little Miss Bliss and cocky and everything, that's easy stuff. Channeling into something else like this, it's completely different. It's a whole nother level for her. And learning as she goes with it has been, you can see where she was a year ago with this to where she is now. it's grown completely different, and she's owning it.
Mm-hmm. She's really come into her own with it, and has really taken it and made it her own, even though it is an extension of Bray, it is an extension of what Bray was doing. She has really taken it to that kind of next level, and really what started that was the feud with Randy, where you took Bray out of the equation, and I think they saw that. I think they saw Bray come out of the equation, and that the Alexa character works, and it actually works better without him in it, because she can more than carry it on her own, which is not good for Bray. But you could then could have moved him on to something else because you had them split up. But, or you could have had her control him. Like, that's a whole other conversation. But I would like to see Alexa win the title. I would understand if she doesn't here. Like, I get your point about them hot potatoing the title and Charlotte losing it. But again, I feel like Charlotte could take that and she's fine. Because you can recover her really super easy. Because at this stage of Charlotte's, like, trajectory, we've all said it, she doesn't need the title. She is the top of the division. She's kind of the top of the company. She's right there with Roman. They're neck and neck in terms of really just owning everything that company has to offer. So I feel like you could have someone like Alexa take it off of Charlotte, and she carries that forward, and then that opens the division up a little bit to now it's, okay, well, how the crap do I take on Alexa? Like, that's an interesting challenge. Charlotte is Charlotte, and it's like, we all say it, LOL, Charlotte wins. But Alexa's like, okay, you have the history between her and Shayna, you have the history between her and Nikki. You haven't really had Alexa and Rhea flirt at all. You've kind of done it, but you've never had them actually go.
And that would be a good Mania feud.
That would be a fantastic Mania feud. You have a lot of women on SmackDown who are ready for an opportunity. You know, girls like Naomi, bring her over to Raw. Although I doubt that because she's probably going to stay with her husband.
They just moved her to SmackDown.
But you can move other women off of SmackDown and open that division up a little bit and, you know, move women from Raw to SmackDown. Like, the draft, it's really hard because the draft is next week, and picking with the draft, thinking of who's going to go where, you're just not sure, because you could send Charlotte, I doubt it, but you could send Charlotte to SmackDown, and you could bring someone like a Becky or a Sasha or a Bianca over. I think Sasha would probably be the best because, again, you're dealing with married couples and they like to keep married couples together.
It's all about balancing heels and faces and where you go from there. That's a different discussion for a different day.
Yeah, but on this note, I want to see Alexa win, so I'm going Alexa. I'm sure I'm wrong, but I want to see her win.
All right, I have Alexa by DQ, 8-ball. Does Charlotte retain? Better not tell you, so that's a no one for that one. So we spin the wheel, we make the deal. What will it be?
Wrestler 3.
Not Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 2.
Is Wrestler 3 the darkness?
Wrestler 3 could be DQ. Wrestler 2 on our sheet, that would be Alexa.
All right, and that concludes our Extreme Rules Pick'em. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let us know in the chat, in the Twitters, all the things. If you have picks, you can tweet them to us right up until the show on Sunday.
You can go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork starting probably Saturday morning. Leave us your picks, because there'll probably be changes on SmackDown for the card, so we'll have extra picks on that. Before we go, we're going to wrap here for a second. Congrats to Bad Bunny for winning a 11 Billboard Award tonight. Damian Priest was the presenter of the award.
Oh, nice! They had a little reunion.
They had a nice little reunion.
Aw, yay. That's so good.
So there you go. But that's our
it's
show.
Like it was planned.
But that's our show for the night.
It is our show for the night, and you have stuff to plug.
Saturday night, midnight edition, another edition of Super Radio, SuperRadio.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, 11 p.m.-ish. Could be earlier, could be later. Extreme Rules recap on WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio Monday night's Raw post show. In theory, this week we'll see.
Eagles Cowboys are playing.
We'll see. Probably do a post show Monday, but we may be distracted. We don't know. No.
There is no we may be distracted. It is you will be distracted. Because it's your football team playing Brent's football team, and there's going to be a lot of shit talk between the two of you.
It was a general we, not like a, anyway. We'll be back next Thursday to review Extreme Rules at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack, a direct radio show on all social media platforms. And wherever you get your podcasts, that's Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, wherever you get it, search the Rock Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, we're on TikTok at WTR Live. That's a thing. But if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle above the screen. It's September. 20% off for, what, 5-ish days?
6-ish, somewhere in there.
Something like that. Do the math, you can figure it out. You can also use credit card Rocket Sock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
There's a new Venom skin in the shop. Guys, go buy it. It's whatever. What's his name?
It's Eddie Brock. You can go buy Tom Hardy in the Epic Store.
Yeah, and then he transforms into Venom. Just in case you didn't get Venom before. Or there's a dual pack. You can get Venom and the other one. So you can have two.
Venom and Venom.
You have two Venoms. But hashtag Epic Partner.
You follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. And you can check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. We will see you potentially Monday, but if not next week for the show. So till then, you can listen to the Rock right here on Wild Talk Radio, and we'll see you later. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.